Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, thank you guys for tuning in. This is John Kuzma from EndZoneBlog.com's Across the Middle Show. We're going to cover the Green Bay Packers and some of the moves they've made in free agency. It looks like they went all in terms of improving their defense. We're also going to talk about the Miami Dolphins and their new quarterback. That's right, they chose to sign Ryan Fitzpatrick, a.k.a. Fitzmagic. So I actually like that move for the Miami Dolphins. Let's actually start there. You know, the Miami Dolphins got a way better deal for Ryan Fitzpatrick than the Jacksonville Jaguars did with Nick Foles. It's been a rough offseason for the Dolphins, but Fitzmagic brings some excitement to South Florida. Ryan Fitzpatrick and Nick Foles' careers definitely have some similarities. Both guys are journeymen who hung around long enough until they really started to pick up the game. At the moment, each individual has also proven they deserve to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. However, when the Jacksonville Jaguars paid Foles a four-year, $88 million contract, it was a little mind-boggling because that was a huge salary cap hit. To put that in perspective, Miami just landed Fitzpatrick for a two-year, $11 million deal, which has incentives that could increase Fitzpatrick's earnings up to $20 million. Those funds saved can be used to address some of the other positions on the roster. It's a very team-friendly agreement. Not to mention, Fitzpatrick threw for 17 touchdowns in only 8 games last season compared to Foles' 7 touchdowns and 5 regular season starts. So when you step back and look at the big picture, it's obvious that Miami got a steal. Fitzpatrick looked more confident than ever at the start of 2018. It's awesome to see him get another starting gig. Tampa Bay's offense was able to stretch the field with the former 7th-round pick under center. Ryan Fitzpatrick's competence as a quarterback will bring a stability to the Dolphins that they haven't had at that position in a while. Although Chris Greer and the front office have to do a better job than they've done over the past 2 months, all the focus has been on the new coach, Brian Flores, but there hasn't been good enough roster moves to keep this franchise afloat. You know, Buffalo and New York have improved a lot, and Fitzmagic can't be the answer to every problem. The team has to put a talented group of athletes around Fitzpatrick so he can do his job effectively. At least he'll get more out of the receivers than Ryan Tannehill or Brock Osweiler would have. So, Ryan Fitzpatrick, like I said, he's going to get more out of the receivers no matter who they have. You know, I still think Miami needs more, but no matter who they have, Ryan Fitzpatrick is going to get more out of those receivers than Ryan Tannehill or Brock Osweiler would have. And that's because Ryan Fitzpatrick just hung around for so long. Like I said, he was a journeyman, and he had a lot of stops along the way. But last year, it just clicked for him. He kind of realized, you know, I've been doing this for so long. If anybody can make this happen, it's me. Fitzpatrick looked confident. You could tell he believed in himself. And, you know, there wasn't any doubts at all. You know, he knew that he was deserving of being a starting quarterback in this league, and he went out there and showed it. I still think Dirk Koetter pretty much, you know, fired himself by going back to Jameis Winston, because with how well Ryan Fitzpatrick was playing and how well they were stretching the field, how good that offense looked at times, I don't think you can just turn that job back over to Jameis Winston because Ryan Fitzpatrick had a couple of bad games. You know, not to mention, I think one of those bad games was against the Bears, and, you know, anybody could have struggled against that defense. And I just think, you know, we always talk about, as coaches, you know, I was a former coach, we always talk about catching lightning in a bottle. And what that means is when you catch lightning in a bottle, it basically means you're going with a hot hand. And to me, you know, even though Jameis Winston is supposed to be the franchise quarterback down there, you know, and I'm talking about last season, You know, you just got to go with the hot hand. And Fitzpatrick was clearly the hot hand. What he threw 17 touchdowns in 8 games. Imagine if you would have played the whole season. He would have had 30 touchdowns, you know? So, to me, you know, how you don't stick with a guy that can put up 30 touchdowns for you is just beyond me. I don't understand what, you know, Tampa Bay was thinking. But the good news is Miami got a steal, you know. Jacksonville paid Nick Foles $88 million, you know, $88 million. And, you know, Miami got Nick Foles for a 2-year, $11 million deal for a starting quarterback. And I don't care if that's a bridge for whoever they draft, whether Drew Lock or Daniel Jones or someone else, or, you know, anybody else out there. It doesn't matter. You got a starting quarterback for possibly less than $6 million a year. Now, I think Fitzmagic is going to perform well and probably hit those incentives and bonuses that he's got written into his contract. So I think it'll probably be 2 years, $20 million. But $10 million for a starting quarterback, that's such a team-friendly deal. And like I said, you can use that money to improve the other positions on the roster. It takes a complete team to win. We've even seen, you know, with the Baltimore Ravens when Trent Dilfer was the quarterback, where the team was so stacked and, you know, Trent Dilfer wasn't that good. Things can happen in terms of your team can be very good even though your quarterback isn't necessarily great. But I think, you know, Fitzpatrick is a different player now. I really do. I just think he's put in the work for so long that it comes easy for him now. You know, he had a lot of weapons in Tampa Bay, which is kind of scary going to Miami because they haven't done anything. All they've done is focus on, yeah, we got a new coach, Brian Flores, and he's a defensive guy. For the most part, though, they haven't made the acquisitions that the Bills have made or the New York Jets have made. So they're starting to fall behind in that division. We all know the Patriots are, you know, defending Super Bowl champions. So Miami, it sucks for Fitzpatrick because, yeah, he gets this gig, but he's not going to have very much help at all. The good news is that team will be better at quarterback. And, you know, sometimes good quarterback play can mask some of the other problems on the team. You look what Andrew Luck did this past season with the Colts. We've seen it so many times, even Brady in New England, how he can get it done with a less talented cast. I think Ryan Fitzpatrick is going to be able to make more out of less, like I've said several times already. But still, in order to compete, they need someone else. They got to load up somewhere. They got to make something happen. And then ultimately, they got to put athletes around Fitzpatrick. The next topic, the Green Bay Packers are hoping Preston Smith and Za'Darius Smith can help them get back on top of the NFC North. Everyone else in that division is a defensive team, and the Packers are following suit. When you take a look around the NFC North, there's not a lot of offense happening. Last season, the Bears, Vikings, and Lions were all better on the defensive side of the ball, and it looks like the Green Bay Packers are following in their rivals' footsteps. They know Aaron Rodgers is good enough to sustain drives and score points, which is why they went in the opposite direction and chose to sign Preston Smith and Za'Darius Smith to keep their opponents out of the end zone. Clearly, the Packers didn't believe Clay Matthews and Nick Perry were up for that task anymore, and the Smiths are a younger duo who should revamp the outside linebacker position. In a 3-4 defense, it's crucial to have competent pass rushers because they're the playmakers in that scheme. Preston Smith has been more productive over the last 4 years, recording 24.5 sacks compared to Za'Darius Smith's 18.5 sacks. However, Za'Darius Smith had 8.5 sacks in 2018, and it feels like he's evolved into a different caliber of player. He does most of his damage by bull rushing offensive linemen in the trenches. you know, the combination of Kenny Clark and Za'Darius Smith should tilt the odds in Green Bay's favor. And then you have Preston Smith firing off the edge. P. Smith is very fast, and he's someone who understands what the offense is trying to do to him. Rarely does Preston Smith fall for run fakes, and his motor is always on full throttle. Together, these two acquisitions will certainly bolster Mike Pettine's group, and the closer they can keep games, the better chance Rodgers will have of taking over in the fourth quarter. Brian Gutekunst knew that would help the Packers put more W's in the win column, and it was a decent offseason for one of the league's most historic franchises. So Green Bay Packers, we know about the history. We know about Curly Lambeau and Vince Lombardi and the Acme packaging company and all their history and how they're a publicly traded company and how people, like the fans, own the company, have stock in the team. And just all, you know, all the history they have there, you know, they do the bike riding thing and, you know, the Cheesehead fans are diehard. But their team has been slipping a little bit lately. I don't think they're getting the free agents like they used to. They haven't gotten Rodgers enough help. Defense wasn't good enough last year, didn't make enough plays. Clay Matthews was looking old. Nick Perry couldn't stay healthy. So the front office decides, you know, we're going to go get a couple defensive playmakers. Preston Smith, like I said, great motor, very smart, doesn't fall for run fakes, disciplined, knows his assignment, doesn't stray too much from that, and he gives maximum effort. And then Za'Darius Smith, man, he's just powerful. You know, a lot of times he was playing defensive end. With the Ravens, I'm not sure if Green Bay is going to put him at outside linebacker or keep him at defensive end. But he's a guy that can just straight up go head-to-head in the trenches. And he can bull rush and then work a swim and get right to the quarterback. That's like his number one move. But these two guys, you know, they're both pass-rushing specialists. And you get the old guys out of there and Matthews and Perry, you – insert both these Smiths, and the goal is, you know, they're going to have more tenacity on the defensive side of the ball when it comes to rushing the quarterback. So they want to collapse the pocket. They want to force quick throws. They want to throw or force ill-advised throws. They want to hit the quarterback. They want to hurry him, put him under pressure, and, you know, make him make quick decisions. And the idea is by dictating the terms and by constantly having those two guys in opposing quarterback's face, in the opposing quarterback's face, they can really, you know, create some turnovers, get off the field on third down, and hopefully, you know, suffocate that offense's attack before things even get off the ground. I think this is so huge because now, you know, they're keeping the game up. The game's a lot closer, and, you know, they're playing a gritty defensive football, which all the other teams in the division are doing. So the Packers had to do so as well. And, you know, the Packers were one of the better offensive teams last year in this division, and everybody else is mainly defense. So they had to get some weapons on that side of the ball, too, just so they can match up and compete with everybody else. So now when you're in tight games late in the fourth quarter, Aaron Rodgers has a chance to work his magic, and we've all seen how many times he's put the team on his back and led the team downfield on a game-winning drive. We could be seeing even more of those in 2019 because, like I said, the games are going to be closer. That's what the defense does. Unless, you know, Rodgers takes those extra possessions and just lights it up. But the bottom line is this defense is going to get off the field more often. They're going to hold strong more often. And, to me, it looks like an improvement. When you look at, you know, Clay Matthews' production was starting to wane. These new guys, Preston and Za'Darius Smith, should be able to come in and make something happens. So that's all I have today, though. Check out endzoneblog.com. I appreciate you guys listening. It's a great day, and I hope you guys enjoying it. Thanks for tuning in. I'm signing off. Take care.